Today's daf is daf Pechet. So the very last words on Amud Beit, yeah. Omer of Papa is where we were up to. Omer of Papa. Ipikeahu, mighty la, lide shvua diorita. What we've been talking about over here is the question of the shvua that make a woman swear in cases where there would be an aid echad that would be against that he'd paid the ketuvah already, or where she was pogemet ketuvata. But as Rava proved yesterday, none of these could possibly be a shvua diorita. Because in a shvua diorita, you're always swearing to be patur, you're not swearing to take. And over here, her shvua is, I swear that he did not pay me my ketuvah, therefore I can take. So it must be a tikkun derabanan. Now there's always a disadvantage that you're at when the only thing, the only weapon that you have in your hands against your legal opponent is a shvua derabanan. Because in a shvua diorita, you have, remember we mentioned yesterday, according to Rashi, first of all, the fearsomeness of a shvua diorita, that it's, you have to hold a sefer Torah, and you have to use the shem Hashem, or a kinui of Hashem, whereas when it comes to shvua derabanan, you don't. About which Tosfos argues and proves that even a shvua derabanan, that's not the difference. The other is that in a shvua diorita, you could be mapich the shvua, which means that it's possible in a case where that person doesn't want to make a shvua, the other person can't make a shvua, that you could simply switch it around and say, okay, you swear, and then and you can collect. You can't do that in a shvua derabanan. So says Rav Papa, you certainly, if the guy is smart, there would always be a trick that you could use to make it into a shvua diorita. How is that? What you would do is like this. Pay her again, the ketuvah. This time in front of another witness. So yoyev la ketuvata ba'apichat sahava. Then bring the two witnesses to court. Each one saying, I saw him pay the ketuvah. V'somich sahava kama sahava batra. And then say to the court, but this guy who saw the original payment, he basically is an aid echad against the money that I obviously lent her because I paid her again. And he becomes now a son of take the anach kamoi, mukim al anach kamoi, the milva. Turn the first payment into a milva against which you have the aid echad telling her, I made a milva. Now, do you deny? If you deny against an aid echad, the denial is a kvidi araita. Matkifar of Shisha Breaker of Vidi, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean? It's two different transactions. How can you take one aid and another aid and put them together when they're looking at different events? So, hey, son of Sadakama Sadabat. You can't bring both of them and say that they're saying you're the same event.
If you did that, you'd be playing right into her hands, because then, basically, you're even worse off. Since each one of them is talking about a different payment, so if she now will say both of them are lying, she could simply be makrish them by making the same shvua she were afraid she was going to make against the one, she'll make against the two, and still come against you to collect yet a third time. And then what are you going to do? You'll be out the riksu.
Hello, Amr of Shisha Bered Ravidi. That's not what you do. What you do is, yoyev la ketuvatav api sa'ada kama sa'ada batra. Take the original aid who saw the original payment. Bring another person with him, so that you have two aidim. Umukim lalahanach kamoi ba'alva, and then take the original debt, and make that into a diorita debt, for which you'll have now, the first aid will now stand as an aid effort against her for a loan, and there we go. So what's she gonna say? She's gonna say, well, I never got it before, this is the first, that's true, I mean, obviously she can't tie against two aidim, it's true that this last payment that he did this week, yes, that I received. But this nonsense that he claims he paid me a year ago, that never happened. So he says, well, no, of course, I never paid you a year ago. Absolutely not. I made you a loan. No, I mean, you make me a loan. No, here's the aid effort. Now she'll have to swear with your Eicha. Matkif la Rav Ashi, why would she have to make a shvua diorita? Why couldn't she say, Akat yecholah lamema shtei ketuvot havoy? I mean, isn't she going to just turn around and she's going to say, look, clearly, if you paid me twice, you yourself remember you paid me twice. Last week you were saying you paid me my ketuvah a week ago. I will tell you why you paid me twice. It's because I basically had two separate shtarot. So why can't you simply say that? And that way she is going to be able to say, well, thank you very much for your recent payment of the ketuvah. I appreciate that. Alam Rav Ashi, Huda Modalu, obviously you could only play this trick if you let the witness know, listen here, gentlemen, I want you to know I'm setting her up. So I am going to now pay her back pretending that I'm paying her back, and then I'm going to go ahead and be Toveya, the original payment. So you who saw the original payment do not get confused that there was a second shtar over here. And we certainly don't believe normally a woman to say that she had two separate ketuvot. It's only because of the setting. The setting here was very strange, which he himself was admitting initially that he had given her money before. So if he hadn't warned them, we would have been forced to say, look, I mean, there is something strange over here. But if you give him Oda, then already there's no problem. We asked at 8. Was he making a loan? The aide would have said, no, he wasn't making a loan. He was paying back the ksuba. So, I mean, it would have been reasonable to say that maybe there was a separate shtar. Continues the Mishnah. A woman who is now coming to collect from the Chasim Mishu'ubadim, she is able now, she has to swear that there was no payment. Because after all, the poor buyer is in a position which he doesn't know. So Bezdin will be to'en for him. And that's called Ptach Pichalile. So too, in a case where Yitomim are going to collect, what is this talking about? Yitomim are coming to collect, they need to make a shvua that their father never told them that this shtar should not be used, I was only keeping it because the guy never paid me the 10 cents it cost to purchase the shtar maybe, or whatever it is. That's called the shvuat Yitomim. Obviously they can't swear that they know that it wasn't paid, but that they can swear they know that Abba didn't tell them before they died that it was paid. So who are they collecting from now exactly, Biman? Ilema milove? You're saying that a borrower, a guy dies, leaving heirs, and the heirs have to swear to the borrower that dad didn't say before he died we shouldn't collect. That makes no sense at all. If dad was here, would he have to swear? He presents a shtar and he collects a shtar. So now that he dies, his heirs have to collect more than him. Does that make sense? I mean, hashtavim shakya b'lo shvua. So, you know, Bisham, their shvua is much less. Their shvua is only where they're not even expected to know. They're coming now to collect based on a bond that their father had. Why in the world should their chiyuv of a shvua be greater than the father's? If anything, it should be the other way around. Elo halchi komar must mean that if yitomim are coming to collect from yitomim, so in other words, the malva died, and now the lov also died. Come along the Yitomim to collect from the Yitomim. So you would think, perhaps, that Yitomim, even though normally when we collect from Yitomim, it's only with a Shvua, but maybe that's only if you're meant to know. Gamashron, even Yitomim, you mean how Yitomim lo yifaru ala b'shvua? Of course, it's a very weak Shvua. The only Shvua that they could possibly say is dad didn't tell us. But that too, they'll have to swear. Omer Zriko, Omer Yudah. Lo shonu. Ela sha'amru Yitomim. The only time that the lenders heirs will have to swear that they didn't know that it was paid is where the heirs of the borrower are actually making a claim. And they say that before dad died, he told us, look, you should know I did borrow once $10,000 from George, but I paid that money back. If his heirs are going to come now and claim that you owe that money, tell them that I said it's not true, that it was all paid and he was only keeping the shtar to collect for the bill of writing the shtar. So then they come to court and they say this, and the court says to the Yitomim of the lender, did your father ever mention anything about that before he died? And if they can swear that he didn't, then they still have a valid collecting instrument in their hands and they'll be able to collect. Abul Amru, but suppose they say, dad said, Amar Lano Abba, Lo Laviti, my father said it's all a lie, I never borrowed any money. Af Bishvu Alo Yiparu. So then, in that case, it's not going to help for them even to make a shvua. What, says Rabbi, what are you talking about? You have the whole thing backwards. If a guy says, I never borrowed money, and we present a contract in which we have witnesses that he did borrow money, then we say, thank you very much for the information that you didn't borrow money, because obviously if you didn't borrow the money, you never paid back the money. So therefore, we now know that you never paid back the money, so here's the instrument to collect. In the other case, you could say, I did, it's true, I borrowed it, but I paid it back. But if you're already claiming you didn't borrow it, and we know that that's a lie, then you certainly didn't pay it. So if that's the case, you should say just the opposite, because kolo omer lo laviti, kolo omer lo parati tami. If a guy's ready to say he didn't borrow that money, he's certainly saying he didn't pay back the money. Therefore, if you're going to say it the other direction. Yitmar haki yitmar. Omri Rabbi Zrek, Omri Rabbi Yehuda, lo shonu ala sha'omri yitomim, amal lanu abba laviti uparati. When do we say that the heirs of the lender, have to swear that they didn't hear from their father before he died that this contract had already been paid up? That's only where the borrower's heirs are saying that when their father was dying, he told them, listen, I want you to know, George still has that contract against me, but it was paid. You only owe him another $10 for the costs of the lawyer's fee and the notary's fee. But everything else was paid. Then they have to swear that they didn't hear that from their father, the lender. Abul Amru, but if the heirs of the borrower say, well, dad said it's a big lie. Lola Viti, I never borrowed from him. Don't trust it. You tell the court that that's a forged document. Then, if they come and tell the court it's a forged document, so then the court will say, thank you very much. We now know that your father never repaid. You just saved the heirs of the lender the need for a shvua, because you're saying your father admitted that he never paid. As far as saying he never borrowed, he's obviously a liar. We have a contract signed with witnesses that he did borrow. So therefore, in that case, they can elect him without a shvua. Shikola omer lo laviti, ka omer lo porati. I mean, if you're saying I didn't borrow, you're saying you never paid. Yes, Abba.
Why didn't Gemara put forth Rav Zikra's point about that I borrowed the money and repaid it, or I didn't borrow it at all, he won't collect it even with a shvua? Why did he put that position forth? It seems like
That's a good question, but a little bit out beyond the bonds. That's an excellent question. Now, Abba's pointing out that there always has to be a Hava Mina and a Gemara, otherwise we wouldn't have bothered putting it on the page. Good. Omar Ravacha Sarabira. Ma'aseh bar lifnei Rabbi Yitzchak. A certain event happened in the city of Antukia, to Rabbi Yitzchak's Bezdin, in which we were talking about a case of a collection that a woman is making outside of her, the husband had gone away overseas, had not shown up, and they couldn't wait any longer to collect, and they were trying to collect, and the Mishnah says you can collect with a ketuvah. So the judge, Rabbi Yitzchak, paskened that lo shanu ela de ketuvat isha mishum china. In that case, a debtor also had come to collect. And he said, look, if the wife can collect, why can't I collect? So he said, no, we only allowed this type of collection where the person is not present to defend himself is only for collecting a ketubah. But you, who are a lender, are not able to collect if the man is not here. Rav Nachman says that's not true, because if you allow that, the truth is, even a Baal Chov can collect. If you're going to allow a guy to get away with borrowing money and then not having to appear in court just because he moved to Timbuktu, then obviously that's what everybody will do. They'll borrow money and abscond to New Zealand, where surely they'll never meet anybody else. And in that case, they were going to destroy the loan market again and destroy the capital market. And as you know, that's one of our biggest concerns, so we don't do that. People just go and they move to Hawaii or New Zealand. Many of the takanot that we've had, as we've mentioned earlier, are takanot, very early, beautiful takanot, to make certain that capital markets are left wide open, because that's the end of your economy. We cannot create a situation where people cannot borrow money and lenders are going to feel that they're not safe. So we have a lot of safeguards put into place, even though it runs against the strict letter of the law in the Yoraita, that the Rabbanim made to allow certain things, in this case to allow collection when a guy is not present to defend himself. You come along with a contract, the guy has gone overseas, it's his tough luck, we'll take his property. And we'll collect even though he's not there. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kozman Shetovat Ketuvata. Now, this closing of the Mishnah, we said, seemed to be coming out of left field. It's not clear what Rabbi Shimon is talking about. Did somebody disagree with Rabbi Shimon exactly? Let's take a look again on Amud Beis, at the very top of Amud Beis. Don't turn Amud Beis, you're on Amud Beis. In other words, Amud Beis of Pei Zayin. And look at the closing words of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Zman Shehi Tovat Ketuvata Yoshim Hashbinota. Whenever she demands her ketuvah from the heirs of her husband, then they can make her swear. But V'imeina Tovat Ketuvata, but if not, they can't make her swear. Now, what exactly was Rabbi Shimon referring to? Because we weren't talking about a case of Tovat Ketuvata. Is he arguing? Which case is he arguing on? Rabbi Shimon, I. On which case was Rabbi Shimon now adding these words? On Rabbi Yirmiyah, he was referring to one of the cases in the beginning of the Mishnah, where we had three separate cases and three subsections of the final case, of where it is that she would have to be nifrat only with the shvua. One of those cases was, that was the last case, where she is collecting nifrat shelo b'fanav. So it says over there, she's collecting when he's not present, lo tipara ela b'shvua. Now, our assumption was that that would be true no matter what the situation is. In other words, her husband divorced her and disappeared, her husband sent her a debt from overseas, her husband disappeared without leaving money to feed her, whatever the case is, she's coming to collect, and she's going to have to make a shvua. That's what we thought, because that's what the Tanakhama did not give any conditions. He just said, when a woman is collecting, not in front of her husband, she has to make a shvua. Lo shna lemizone, velo shna lektuva, whether she's collecting just to pay her grocery bill while her husband is away and delayed, or whether she's collecting her ktuva. Comes along Rabbi Shimon to disagree with that. And Rabbi Shimon says, oh no, oh no. The truth is, kozman shetovat ktuvata, This whole halacha that you said earlier, that she collects, and you didn't say what the circumstances were, that's not true. If she's collecting now for her ketubah, then indeed the halacha is that Yorsheh, the Yorshim over here, are actually mashpi'im ota. But if she is not being tovat ketuvata, ena Yorshim mashpi'im ota. If she's coming along now to collect the mizonot, then not, and what's the machlokas all about over here? The machlokas is the famous machlokas that is in the Mishnah later on, which is a machlokas between Hanan and between the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim. And here's the Mishnah, the Tanakh. Misha alach l'medinat hayam mishto tovat mizonot. So Hanan omer, Hanan says, look, tishava besof velo tishava batchila. If she needs to collect now, and she is going to be paid up now for all of the mizonot that she requires and so on, the only time that she's going to have to swear is at the end of the relationship. Her husband dies, she's divorced, and now we're making a full accounting of anything that took place during the marriage. At that point, she's going to have to swear and say, look, I never took or kept anything that was not meant to be mine that ought to be applied to the ketubah, never happened. And therefore, I want to collect my entire ketuvah. So that means that retroactively, she's going to be swearing on the money that the court's going to be giving her now. But she does not have to swear up front when she comes to collect that she'll say that the court will ask her, did your husband not leave you any cash to pay for all of this when he went overseas? Well, you'll have to swear. That's not true. She doesn't have to swear. She does ultimately have to give an accounting with a shvua, but certainly not in order to collect. Whereas the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim say, oh no, she has to swear even b'tchila, she has to swear even if she's coming now to collect, and she wants to take her mizonot, and we tell her, well, you know, it's not usual for a man to just go away and not leave any money for his wife, so we want you to swear. And then besof, of course, if she, in the end he dies or divorces her, then a general shua, that she'll still take. But we don't give her the money without swearing.
In general, on the ksuba.
That, well, no, but on the ksuba means, and during the course of our relationship, my husband never did give me any money, or I never kept any funds that were given to me to buy food.
Didn't you already make that shua?
Which one? She only made the shua on the money that she's taking now. But when she makes a general shua on her whole life's relationship with him, then basically she's going to be included in this. Any other possibility. So Rabbi Shimon obviously is saying, Kechanan. Rabbi Shimon is saying the only time that she swears is where she is tovat ktuvata. Whereas the Chachamim over here, the Rabbanan, who don't say that, and they're mashma that they would say she would swear even for mizonot, obviously they hold like the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim. Matkifla Rav Shesha says Rav Shesha is a very nice explanation, except that the grammar does not work out at all. Because then why would you say over here, Yorshim Mashbin Ota? But why are we talking about Yorshim Mashbin Ota? I mean, that isn't the point. The point is that Beitim Mashbin Ota Miboyle. You're arguing about a case where a woman is standing in front of a court. And now the machlokas is, does she have to swear to the court, or doesn't she have to swear to the court? So what you're saying is that the machlokas over here, according to Rabbi Shimon, now look, a court cannot make her swear for her mizonot. Who else is she talking to? What are you telling me about the Yorshim? Don't talk about Yorshim. There are no Yorshim. Maybe the guy is stam overseas. Daddy's been away for a month, so she's now coming for mizonot. So it should have just said, Beit Din or Mashbinota, Miboyle. So that can't be the best what it should have said. It doesn't. So obviously that isn't what Rabbi Shimon was talking about. Rabbi Shimon is talking about a piece of the Mishnah where the implication is that the husband has died. Now, it's obvious what that part is. The part that ends, where it says if she goes straight from her husband's funeral. Okay, well, obviously, if she went from her husband's funeral, her husband is dead. Okay, so now there are heirs. Comes on Rabbi Shimon to discuss the heirs. That's what we're talking about over here. So what the Mishnah ended with was the words, Halcha mikever ba'ala lebet avia, o shechazra lebet chamia, and if she had never gone home to deal with the money and so on before all the dust settled. So she was not naaseh apotropia, even for the week of Shiva. Nobody came to her for signing checks or anything like that. So then, ena yorshin mashbimota. But in naaseh apotropia, if she had been taking care of the household, then the yorshim can be mashbiyota. But only on, we're talking about a case where the husband said you don't have to swear. So the yorshim can only mashbiya her on the relationship that she had to their money, but not the relationship that she had to the father's money while he was alive. So only ala atid lavo, vein mashbinota mashavar, comes along Rabbi Shimon to say, no, that is a big mistake. That actually, kozman shetovat ktuvata yorshim mashbimota, but enatovat ktuvata, The only time that they could possibly make her swear is if she's coming to collect her ketubah. But if they're saying, now listen, we don't mean to imply anything improper, but the fact is, you were all alone in the house for the past 2 weeks, taking care of all of the bills. We didn't get a chance to sit down with the lawyer and work things out. And we're a little bit worried about what happened during the course of those 2 weeks. We'd like you to take a shvuah. They cannot. Why? The machlok is over here, where the rabbanon are saying, well, of course they can make her swear about what she did during the time that they hadn't yet taken over the property, the heirs, and the time of the death, or the time of the kvura. And Rabbi Shimon, who says, absolutely not. They cannot make her swear. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about the famous machlokes of Abba Shaul and the Rabbanan, where we have a machloket in Gitin in the Mishnah. That's not. Apotropos sheminu avi yetomim yishava minuhu beidin lo yishava. Now the Gemara is taking for granted, and Tosis learns a very interesting thing from here. Gemara is taking for granted that the case in the Mishnah is that the father, before he died, appointed his wife as the apotropia after his death until the lawyers work things out. Why does the Gemara assume this? It says Tosis, look, if she just went into the house and took over on her own, and nobody had appointed her, obviously she's going to have to swear. Nobody would argue about that. A person who goes into somebody else's rishus, I don't care if he's a relative, whatever, but he certainly is going to have to swear. Well, what's he doing there? He can't just stop and start writing out checks with the other guy's checkbook and say, I was only trying to take care of the family. I'm sure that's all you were trying to do, but you're going to have to be accountable. That's for sure not the case. Why is the Gemara assuming, as we'll see in a moment, that not the Beit Din appointed her, but rather the father had appointed her? Says Tosfos, the only explanation for such an assumption, where the Mishnah didn't even discuss Minuhu, is that a Beit Din will not appoint a woman as an apotropos. And therefore, you see from here that a Beis Din does not appoint. If the guy appoints her, that's fine, but Beis Din will not appoint her. So, in any event, the assumption is, therefore, that the Mishnah is talking about a case that the father asked his wife to take care of the property, and the machlokus over here about whether his heirs, who may not be related to her, obviously, his heirs can ask her to swear, is a function of the machlokus of Abba Chanan and the Abba Shaul and the Rabban, the Tanakh. An apotropos that Beit Din appointed, an apotropos rather that the Avi Yetomim appointed, has to swear. But if Beit Din appointed him, he does not have to swear. Why? Because we are very into, this is like sort of jury duty. The harder you make jury duty, the harder it is to get together a jury, right? So ultimately, if you put too many things on a person, you're going to end up destroying the whole court system. Beit Din is in a position where they're going to have to be asking people to do a lot of favors. If they appoint somebody to be an apotropos, I mean, how many people are willing to get into that? You have to be, you're a kind-hearted person, you'll do it. But they're going to make you make a shvua at the end. That's the Good Samaritan. He's going to have to swear? Doesn't make sense. Therefore, say the Chachomim, look, if the guy's kind enough, and obviously the court trusts him to make an apotropos, he's not going to have to swear. On the other hand, a person who's asking a friend, he's the Avi HaYetomim, he knows he's dying, he asks his friend to take care of things until the dust settles, over there, the guy should, he's obviously not doing it stam, he's doing it because he knows him, he's doing it because he owes him, whatever. We're not going to discourage that if we make him swear. Says Abba Shaul, just the opposite. If a Beit Din appoints somebody, it looks great on your CV. Doesn't it?
What's sure. CV?
You know, your, what's the other
resume?
No, it stands for curriculum vitae, but what? Resume. Your resume. Looks resume. Great on your resume. Curriculum vitae. I mean, the important facts of your life. So the court is appointed as a trustee by the Supreme Court. Wow, you know, this guy must be a very reliable guy. No, it's going to cost him a shvua here and there. It's well worth it because people are mostly concerned about their CVs. Mashenkain, if he's going to have to swear when his friend is asking him to do a favor, look, I'd really like to do it, but I'm very careful about taking shvuas. I can't accept this kind of job, right? Because then it doesn't look like anything. I mean, a friend, you can't put that on your CV. My friend asked me to take care of his kids after he died. I'm like, what's that, a hobby? So in the mail, it's not going to mean anything. Therefore, it's not beautiful. Therefore, Tanya Zabashov, the exact opposite is true. Minu Beit Din, he's not going to avoid duty because of the Shvuah. He wants people to know that Beit Din trusts him and feels that he's a very upstanding citizen. So then, On the contrary, make him swear. Minu avi etomim, we're over there. A person's always looking for an out. I mean, if he's got an out, he's going to take it. You're going to give him an out by telling him he's going to have to swear. So then he can always use this as, look, I want to help. I'm a person who never takes a shvuah. I can't take this. I can't do this favor for you. Ask me something else. Maybe to let people know about the Levaya. I mean, that I'm willing to do. We'll make some phone calls for you. But more than that, I can't do. So therefore, that case lo yeshava. So that would explain the machlokas over here. Rabbi Shimon, who says, no, you don't have to swear. I mean, the woman doesn't have to swear. And again, here we see clearly we're talking about an assumption that she wasn't court appointed. She was husband appointed. And so he holds a kapa sha'ul, who says that when the husband appoints you, you do not have to swear. So that's what it's saying over here. Says Rabbi Shimon, no. If she's coming to elect their kriva, yes. But if she's coming because she took care of the house, no. Where's the Rabbanan? They hold like the Rabbanan. On the contrary, if a man appoints somebody to take care of his children, so then they do swear. Makifla Abayas. Abayas says, look, that's an ingenious explanation, except for one unfortunate fact. It doesn't fit the language. Because then why would Rabbi Shimon have said, Kozman Shitobat Ktuvata? I mean, that's an expansive word, right? Kozman is whenever she gets her ktuva. According to your explanation, Rabbi Shimon is trying to limit the cases. So he should have said, look, if she's tovat k'tuvata, then they can make her swear, but certainly not on the apotropia. That's a problem. Therefore, says Abaya, look, I'll tell you what I think of Shad. El Amar Abaya, it's going on the part of the Mishnah that says, katav la nederu shvua ein li alai, eino yochol hashpi'a. So there the Mishnah said, if you spell it all out, there comes on Rabbi Shimon to say, says Rabbi Shimon, look, remember what Abishol said? Rabbi Shimon is saying like Abishol, namely, that even though the man has said to her, darling, you will never have to swear in my marriage, not you, not your heirs, not anyone coming mikocheich, and I don't care whether I'm alive or dead, you'll never have to swear, says Rabbi Shimon, oh yes, she will, as long as she's being tovat tuvata, just like Abishol said. Abishol said, if she is, I would have liked to say, remember Abishol ben Miriam said, I would have liked to say, and on my own I would have said, that if a guy speaks out that you don't have to swear, then you don't have to swear. However, what should I do? Maya said, that Chachomi made a takana, that it's not up to me. In fact, if a person is going to come into a court, to collect from Yatomim, they're going to say to her, madam, we need a shvua. No, my husband said, your husband? Is he exactly, what was he? Was he the Nasi Israel in charge of the Beit Din? And he changed the takana? We're sure your husband meant the best, but it's none of his darn business. You're going to have to swear. That is the way that we understood Abba Shaul. Now, it's true that not everybody agrees with that. Remember that the Riv Strat, I mentioned to you, some of the Rishonim hold that Abba Shaul only meant to say that if you want to potter her even from a Shrua and a Ketuva, you have to say so. Then this doesn't make any sense. Because Rabbi Shimon is saying, Kozma, I don't care what you did. She's going to have to swear collecting her Ketuva, correct? We'll have to say, according to the Rif, because the Parshat meaning is Rabbi Shimon holds like Abishol ben Imam Miriam, that you cannot pater from the Ketubah. The way the Rif is learning, it's not true. You could pater from the Ketubah. So according to the Rif, either we're making a funny assumption that the Rabbanim are talking about only when you didn't say the Feirush, you won't, and therefore he's arguing and saying, no, you in that case, you will not be able to collect without a ketuvah. Or we're saying Rabbi Shimon holds like Abishol, but even worse than Abishol. Abishol is saying you're going to have to make special provisions, and he is saying you can't even make special provisions. So according to the Rif, there are four shittot in the Mishnah. Let's recognize that. We have the question of the Rabbana. If you set her up as an official apotropis or chenbanit, she's no different than anybody else, unless you go ahead and tell her you're potter for making an ishvur. According to Rabbi Eliezer, forget about making her a chenvanit. Any woman is dealing all the time with money in the house. Did you give her flour to make challah? Do you know she's not selling the challahs under the table and making money and planning her big escape to Hawaii? So then she's always an apotropis. Comes along now Abishol, not in the Mishnah, to say. The truth is if she had pottered herself down, that he had pottered her, he should have been able to potter her from a shvur, but you should know he can't potter from a shvua for the ketubah, unless he specifies even from your collection of the ketubah. Comes along now Rabbi Shimon to say, even if he would specify, it wouldn't have helped. So there's basically four shitot. The first two shitot are only arguing in when she has to swear, but they both agree you could theoretically potter her from all types of shvuas. Abba Shaul ben Imam Miriam is saying, well, not unless you specify it from all types of shvuas. And Rabbi Shimon is saying you cannot ever potter her from collection from Yitomim. According to the way we're understanding the Mishnah, not like the Rif, the Tosfos is proper. Rabbi Hanan learns this way, Rabbi Tam learns this way. Abba Shaul is saying exactly what Rabbi Shimon is saying now. And it turns out that when we said before Abba Shaul disagrees with the Mishnah, that's true. He disagrees with the first two she taught in the Mishnah, who say that you can always let your wife be in a position, as long as you say it in a shtar, that you don't have to swear. Comes along Rabbi Shimon to say, no, you can't ever potter a woman from taking a shvua to the heirs. Matkivarav papa, even that shot doesn't make sense. Because that would explain half of what Rabbi Shimon says. That would explain him saying, gentlemen, you're wrong. Kol zman shetovat k'tuvata, she's going to have to swear. But what the heck would be the meaning of the next piece? Eina tovat k'tuvata, she doesn't have to swear. Why would he be talking about that? Everybody agrees to that. She's not tovat k'tuvata, and you wrote her that you don't have to swear, she doesn't have to swear. Well, Rabbi Shimon has to mention that. The only thing that he's disagreeing with is that if she's tovat k'tuvata, she has to swear. But this, he's not disagreeing with anybody. It's completely redundant to say that. So why is he even bringing it up? He's not discussing that case. So on the words, quote, Eina tovat k'tuvata, etc., unquote. Ma'ikala mema, what are you going to say about those words? You haven't explained Rabbi Shimon properly, because obviously he couldn't have meant what you're saying. Therefore, says Rav Papa, I'll tell you guys what it is that he meant. Rabbi Shimon is a drastic departure from the rest of the Mishnah. He's not saying, I agree with you that you could potter your wife from a shvua, but not when it comes to from the Yorshim. Rabbi Shimon is disagreeing with everybody in the Mishnah, across the board. He's saying, look, first of all, forget it. You can never potter your wife from a shvua to Yorshim. Besides that, what are you talking about, Rabbi Eliezer? That you can make a woman swear because maybe she was selling challahs under the table? You're out of your mind. Rabbanan, you think you can make a woman swear even if you made her a chenvanit, unless you potted her? The only time a woman has to make a shvua is if she's collecting her ketubah. Don't give me this business. A woman is not an apotropos. She's not a business partner. She's your wife, and therefore you don't need to write out a contract to her. I won't make you swear. You can never make her swear. The only time that you can make her swear, and then she'll swear even on this, is when she's coming to collect the ketubah. So that then the Yorshim will say, look, there was a lot of money that you were handling, and there was always money in the house, somehow, that you had. We're a little bit concerned that maybe some of that money was actually money that should have gone towards your ketubah. We'd like you to swear about all those years you were handling the cash register. And then, indeed, she'll have to swear. But that's the only time. Two extremes. Right. And there's a very interesting story in Tosfos. We bring an actual event that occurred over here in front of Ravenu Tam. A woman that her husband had appointed her in charge of his makolet. And the Yorshim are coming and saying, look, there was so much money she was handling. And Dad kept asking her, where's all that money from? And she kept saying, no, somebody brought in money that he wanted to make a deal that we should buy stuff and sell it for him. It's not my money. It's not our money. And it was very suspicious. He trusted her. He was very naive. But this woman is dangerous. So we want her to swear. And Rabbeinu Tam said, look, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And that because we said before, Halacha k'Avishal ben Miriam. Now we made that dependent. And we said Rabbi Shimon is going like Avishal ben Miriam. But we paskin like Rabbi Shimon too, even in this extreme. And therefore, you can't make her swear. And basically, yes, if that's the case, and this brings us himself, you should have said Halacha is Rabbi Shimon, because then you're saying a much bigger thing. You're including Avishal ben Miriam. Plus, you're also saying this additional thing. You're also saying that the whole Mishnah was wrong. You don't need to write a contract to potter a woman. She's anyway potter from a woman. Well, three cases. There's three takanas that we made in terms of Ptach Picha Le'ilein. One of them was collecting when the husband's not here, he's out of town. One is collecting from the Chosim Mishubadim, and one of them is collecting from Yatomim. In all of these cases, it's Ptach Picha Le'ilein. Unless, according to Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, unless he wrote, you won't have to make a shvur. But otherwise, you'll have to make a shvur.
So was that the case?
Maybe
normal wedding?
Look at the end of our Mishnah. In cases where our Mishnah is talking about Pogemet K'tuvata, A, Erecha Meida B. C. C1, C2, C3, correct? What are the C1? Minichse Yetomim. C2, Minichase Meshubadim. C3, somebody's collecting Shalom Befanav. Okay? So then that means in all of these cases we need a Ptach Picha Le'ilai.
Yeah, strictly speaking, probably if you tell him say they're only Nishbur or trusted.
No, of course, yeah. Obviously.